Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's Kirkintilloch and Bishopriggs Herald podcast, date Wednesday the 3rd of January 2024, is read to you by me, Ian. If you have any feedback or comments, please call me on 0141 648 4996 or email me at studio@qnreview.com. That's studio @CUEANDREVIEW.com. And I wish all our listeners a very happy new year and all the best for 2024. My recovery defied odds. A woman given just a 0.5% chance of survival after a catastrophic car crash has committed her life to helping others following her remarkable 4-year recovery. Lauren Feeney suffered a horrific catalogue of injuries when the car she was a passenger in collided with a 32-ton truck on New Year's Eve 2019. Those included 26 broken bones, eye injuries, internal bleeding and brain damage. Indeed, the 29-year-old's injuries were so bad that the first responders described her body like jelly when she was pulled from the wreckage. Lauren spent a month in a coma. The three other occupants of the car tragically died in the crash. But despite living with a brain injury, sight problems, reduced function in one leg, which means she needs a brace, and other permanent injuries, Lauren now volunteers 2 days a week helping staff at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, runs regularly, swims 5 days a week, and is in training with the Scottish National Para Swimming Squad. To top it all off, she wants to become a motivational speaker so she can inspire others to overcome their own challenges. Lauren had moved to London to complete her training as cabin crew for British Airways and was a month into her dream job jetting around the world when the accident happened. "I can't remember anything," she said. "When I hear about what happened, it's like listening to a story about someone else or watching a TV show. It was horrible, so maybe it's better that way." Lauren spent 2 months in hospital in London before being transferred back to Glasgow just as COVID struck, and she spent 4 months in the QEUH first, in the orthopaedic department, and then in the physically disabled rehabilitation unit, now called the neurohabilitation unit. She then continued her rehabilitation at home with her mum Pauline and dad Kevin. "I spent 2 years receiving a range of therapies," Lauren said. "Mum and Dad had been told not to get their hopes up, that my life would be severely limited. They were planning for a life of care. But the staff who cared for me were just fantastic. They were such an amazing support for me, I'm not sure where I'd be without them." As Lauren got better, she started contemplating what to do with her life. She knew she couldn't go back to the job she loved, but rather than sitting feeling sorry for herself, she got up and got active. "I started volunteering at the QEUH R&R Hub just over a year ago and, to be honest, I feel so lucky to be here. Before cabin crew, I worked in hospitality and I just love being around people and helping them, so being here is perfect. Don't get me wrong, it's not easy. The aftermath of the accident means as soon as I get stressed or overwhelmed, it gets really tough. Plus, I can't walk as well as I used to, and I've got constant problems with my sight, so days can be a bit of a challenge. But I don't want sympathy or to make a big deal of things." Lauren praised her workmate Caroline Maxwell, appeared together because managers knew they would be a good fit for the support she provided. She's just brilliant. It gives me exactly the amount of help I need, stepping in when I need it, but usually just leaving me to get on with it. We have our way and work brilliantly together. We really are the dream team. However, volunteering with NHS GGC is only the start for Lauren. She's also resurrected her teenage hobby of swimming, and she's so good she now trains regularly with the Scottish National Para Swimming Squad. She's also taking up running, recently completing her first 5K, and with the ultimate goal of taking part in duathlons, even though she can't feel her leg unless weight is going through it. "It's difficult right now," she said. "I have to concentrate really hard on where my foot is going to land, and with my sight issue it can be a real challenge. But I'm stubborn, so I won't give up, and I'm learning to manage pretty well." This week in history. January the 4th, 1929. Australian cricketer Don Bradman made his first Test century, playing against England in Melbourne. On this day last year, scientists revealed that potato-shaped stones were better for skimming, despite the popular belief that flat stones were best. January the 5th, 1884, Gilbert and Sullivan's Princess Ida was premiered at the Savoy Theatre. On this day last year, a rare variant of a protein found in human cells may hold the key to transforming breast cancer treatment, scientists said. January the 6th, 1977, music publisher EMI ended its contract with the Sex Pistols because of their notorious behaviour in public. On this day last year, early revelations from the Duke of Sussex's highly anticipated memoir, Spare, dominated headlines ahead of the book's official release on January the 10th. January the 7th, 1990. The Leaning Tower of Pisa was closed to the public for the first time in 807 years, so work could begin to stop it leaning any further. On this day last year, Academy Award-winning filmmaker Sir Sam Mendes described the possibility of having gender-neutral awards at the Oscars as perfectly reasonable. January the 8th, 1935, Elvis Presley was born in Tupelo, Mississippi, the survivor of twin boys. EDC Act on Data Breach. Eastern Bartonshire Council are investigating a potential data breach after the names and addresses of residents were published online amidst a divisive consultation process. Residents in Westerton were asked to provide their views as part of a feasibility study into the relocation of the primary school. The views appeared in council papers in advance of a council meeting on the matter. However, full details of residents were included in this, including personal and identifying details. That led to some complaining to the council and asking for the information to be taken down. This happened some days later, with a redacted version of the consultation then made available. Residents Claire O'Donnell called the slip-up a pretty serious breach, which erodes confidence in sharing views with the council. She told us, "In addition to people's names and addresses being made public, they also shared their views, which should remain private. I would have been very angry if my views were published with my name like that, particularly as the school build is a divisive topic in Westerton right now." Claire says protest banners reading "Save Our Green" have been ripped from garden fences during the night, with one even set on fire. She added, "My elderly neighbour had the one taken from above her front door, which means whoever did it came right onto her property. And I don't think it is just kids mucking about, as it's been attached really well. Whoever took mine must have come prepared with scissors, which is a bit scary and strange." Deputy Chief Executive of the local authority, Anne Davey, confirmed the breach with the Herald. She said, "We are aware of an issue relating to the Westerton Primary School consultation. As soon as this issue was made known to us, the council papers related to the project were removed from the website while investigations are ongoing." Response was poor. Local mum Claire called the council's response on the matter very disappointing. She added, For the residents of Westerton, this ill-conceived plan to move the primary school from its current site to Westerton Green just goes from bad to worse. Not only did the residents have to contend with legitimate concerns about a new building leading to the loss of accessible open space and exacerbating long-standing surface and fill water drainage issues at the site, we now have to worry about the council breaching our privacy. If the EDC insist on forging on with their unpopular plan to relocate the school, they will be asking local people to take part in statutory consultations. How can we enter into these in good faith when the council haven't been able to keep our views private or safeguard our personal details? It's all very disappointing. Stations aren't accessible enough. Scottish Labour MSP Katie Clark has demanded action as new figures show 67% of train stations in eastern Bartonshire are not fully accessible for people with disabilities. New analysis by Scottish Labour shows just two stations in the area are fully accessible. Responsibility for improving accessibility at Scottish stations is shared by both the UK and the Scottish Government. Scottish Labour has branded these figures a scandal and demanded action from both the Scottish Government and the Tory Government at Westminster. Katie Clark, Scottish Labour MSP for West Scotland, called it shameful, claiming that disabled people are still being locked out of train stations in eastern Bartonshire. She added, "This is an issue I have raised with both governments previously. The west of Scotland continues to be shamefully overlooked when it comes to infrastructure investment. Public transport in the 21st century should be fully accessible to all. Our two governments must work together to design a real plan to end this scandal and ensure rail travel is accessible to everyone. That must include reviewing Access for All funding, which despite its name is failing to ensure all stations are abiding by their legal duties. Eastern Bartonshire deserves a modern, accessible rail network so our communities can thrive." Encouragement for New Year resolution. People who smoke are being urged to set the goal of leaving tobacco behind in 2024. Charity Ash Scotland is campaigning to improve the physical and mental health of people who smoke by encouraging them to use free expert stop smoking support provided by the NHS. Quitting is just one of the biggest proactive steps people in Mulgay and Bearsden who smoke can take to quickly improve health and mental well-being, reduce the risk of longer term illness and also save money. If a person who smokes decides to make a New Year's resolution and starts to quit, not only will they find their health will improve by the end of January, in 1 month an average smoker could save in the region of £250. Sheila Duffy, Ash Scotland Chief Executive, said, "Tobacco is highly addictive and although it can take a number of attempts to quit, some people find giving up cigarettes or tobacco easier than they had thought. Don't be discouraged if you've tried before. You'll have learned something valuable about what did and didn't work for you. It's the best thing you can do for your health, finances and for those around you. You don't have to quit on your own in the new year. We're encouraging people in Mulgay and Bearsden to seek person-centred support from local Stop Smoking Services or the National Stop Smoking Service Quit Your Way Scotland. Getting support will give you the confidence to move forward with your quit journey and the tools you need to make the best possible start to 2024. Contact Quit Your Way Scotland at quityourway.scot or by calling the free helpline on 0800 848 484. That's 0800 848 484. Pavement parking. The council has announced its approach to enforcing new parking legislation in the year ahead. The new regulations constitute a national ban on pavement parking, double parking and parking at dropped kerbs, and powers are being granted to councils to enforce the legislation. Council leader Gordon Lowe said, "A national campaign has been launched to raise awareness of this and we will follow this with a more focused local campaign in the new year. We will be adopting a light touch approach in the first few months to ensure the legislation is not a surprise to those who live, work and importantly park in this area. Further work will now take place across several service areas to ensure both technical and physical preparations are made in advance of an agreed hard launch of the new powers in the summer of 2024. Consultant recognised at number 10. A professor and consultant plastic surgeon from NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde has been recognised by a national charity at an awards ceremony held at number 10 Downing Street. Professor Stephen Loeb was nominated at the Sarcoma UK Charity Awards at the historic number 10 Downing Street last week within the Healthcare Professionals Innovation and Excellence category. Sarcoma UK is a leading charity dedicated to supporting individuals affected by sarcoma, a rare form of cancer that grows in connective tissues like bones, nerves and muscles, and the annual awards look to recognise those who have made significant contributions and advancements in the field. This year at Challenge. At its meeting on Thursday the 14th of December, an update to Eastern Partnershire Council highlighted the challenging budget position it finds in 2024-25, like other local authorities across Scotland and the wider UK. In preparation for the budget setting meeting scheduled for Thursday the 22nd of February to set the budget for 2024-25, some early decisions were taken. Council leader Gordon Lowe explained, "The ongoing financial crisis, in tandem with our ever-increasing costs for service delivery and increasing service demand, continues to particularly hit local government. The decisions taken by Council tonight acknowledge the Scottish Government, LEIP funding, that it will assist us to deliver a new Lindsay Academy, and we will have identified the Whitegates Plainfield site for this new build school. Design, development and constant consent work will continue for other live projects, but given the ongoing financial challenges, no contractual obligations will be committed to until the affordability is considered as part of the wider financial sustainability of the capital and revenue budgets to be agreed in February 2024. Business cases were also agreed for a number of projects to address the anticipated funding gap for next year, including a decision to bring in a charge for garden waste collections. Councillor Lowe added, "The nature of our anticipated budget gap is such that we need to identify every possible source of additional income. The majority of councils that offer a garden waste service in Scotland currently charge, and we propose to keep the charge affordable and in line with the range seen across Scotland. It will generate up to £1 million in full year income once implemented, and this is a proposal that was widely referenced in our budget consultation responses. Further information on the garden waste charges will be provided before the scheme is launched." The budget update report also included a positive best value thematic work report, acknowledging the good work taking place in the council in relation to leadership and local strategic priorities. Updates were also heard on the successful implementation of the council's cost of living support programmes, a council priority to address the financial hardship being experienced locally. MP quizzed by pupils. Amy Callaghan is used to grilling ministers in the House of Commons, but the local MP was on the receiving end during her recent visit to St Ninian's High School. The SNP MP spent a double period with Modern Studies pupils at St Ninian's, who grilled her on everything from her current political priorities to daily life as an MP. Ms Callaghan, who was only 27 when she was elected to Westminster, said she was always excited to visit schools and it was important to keep young people engaged in politics. A UK Parliament report from 2022 found that 60% of 18 to 25 year olds think politicians do not care. This finding is supported by the low turnout of younger voters, with only 54% aged 18 to 24 voting in the 2019 election, the lowest of any age group. Considering this trend should be a priority for all politicians, according to Ms Callaghan. Scottish schools are encouraged to keep young people engaged in politics by promoting participation in political, economic, social and cultural life as part of the curriculum for excellence. Commenting, Amy Callaghan MP said, "A huge thanks to St Ninian's for inviting me along and to all the young people who grilled me for a whole double period. It's so important to keep young people engaged in politics. One way is showing that politicians do care, that standing for election is not reserved to a select few, and that the voices of young people matter. Just look at the priority given to tackling climate change in Scotland. Young people have played a key role in pushing that issue to the top of the agenda, though party politics, but also protests and marches. In the same vein, I can understand why so many young people feel distant from Westminster, particularly given regressive moves like the recent ripping up of climate change targets. It was great to get so many probing questions, even if it was probably a harder session than your average media interview. I'm looking forward to visiting again. MSP picks competition winner. Westerton Primary's Leila Ross claimed top prize in Pam Gosell, MSP's 2023 Christmas card competition. Pam visited the school early in December to present the primary 7 pupil with a prize and a signed letter of congratulations. Leila's parents and grandparents were in attendance for the presentation and were delighted with her success. Pam said, "It was a pleasure to meet Leila and congratulate her on winning. I received hundreds of entries for my competition this year and was impressed with the number of fantastic entries from across my region. But Leila's creativity really stood out for me, and I am delighted to feature her design in the front of my Christmas card. It was also great to see such political enthusiasm from the pupils at schools, who were only too keen to ask me about the world of Scottish politics and my role as a West of Scotland MSP. I would like to say a huge well done to the teachers, who have done a fantastic job instilling these young minds with out-of-the-box thinking and a passion for learning." Water safety campaign first for local authority. Eastern Bartonshire Council has become one of the first local authorities to support a water safety campaign founded by the parents of a man who died in a drowning accident. Council leader Gordon Lowe met with Duncan Spears of the Christopher's Saving Lives campaign and took receipt of a set of specially designed ropes to be used to enhance safety around Eastern Bartonshire waterways. The specially manufactured ropes, which are designed to be more effective when attached to lifebuoys and less likely to knot and kink, can be retrieved and thrown more than once to increase the chances of them reaching someone in trouble in the water. They can also serve as a way of pulling them to safety. Councillor Lowe said, "It was a privilege to meet with Duncan and hear about the campaigning work he and his wife Margaret have been leading. We are very grateful to receive these ropes and will share Christopher's story to help raise awareness of water safety. It is an issue we take very seriously. We are part of the Eastern Bartonshire Partnership Approach to Water Safety, ED PAWS, which was formed in 2022 to improve water safety across the area. Duncan's son Christopher drowned in 2016 following a night out in Glasgow. When the 33-year-old fell into the River Clyde, he was able to raise the alarm, but a lifebuoy thrown into the water did not reach him and, as it didn't have ropes attached, it could not be retrieved and thrown again. Since the tragedy, Christopher's parents have been campaigning for water rescue equipment near waterways, particularly in town and city centres where people are coming out of pubs and clubs and may be at higher risk of falling into water. The campaign helps promote water safety, and the specialised ropes are instantly recognisable due to their bright yellow colour entwined with purple thread, in memory of Christopher. Duncan Spears said, "EDC is one of the first councils to meet with us, and we are very grateful for the support. As water ambassadors, our aim is to promote water safety awareness and have rescue equipment extended to all waterways throughout Scotland." No place like home. Hit the trail on your doorstep. I might sound a bit like Dorothy here, but no matter where I've travelled, there really is no place like home. We're spoiled in Scotland with wide open skies, beautiful beaches, historic castles and locations that are the envy of the world. So it comes as little surprise that our country is often hailed as a must-visit in tourism guides across the globe. One of our newest attractions, Scotland's UNESCO Trail, was launched in 2021 and it has just been named as in Rough Guide's 24 best destinations to visit in 2024. The dedicated digital trail connects 13 destinations across the country, including World Heritage Sites, biospheres, global geoparks and creative cities. It was designed specially to support the ambition of making Scotland a world-leading responsible tourism destination by encouraging visitors to stay longer and visit all year round. Scotland's UNESCO Trail is included in the Rough Guides list under Best Destinations for Meaningful Travel. The news has delighted Malcolm Roughhead, Chief Executive of Visit Scotland. He said, "Responsible tourism is at the heart of Scotland's UNESCO Trail, so it's fantastic to see Rough Guides recognising the trail as one of the best for meaningful travel. The trail takes visitors on an inspirational journey through Scotland's rich history and heritage, stunning landscapes and the art, music and literature, which create our unique culture. It's all part of our sustainable destination development to encourage visitors to stay longer, travel sustainably and explore our regions throughout the year. This recognition is further proof of the popularity that Scotland holds for visitors worldwide." Anne Anderson, UK National Commission for UNESCO Chairwoman, was also delighted to see it had received a commendation from Rough Guides. She said, "As noted by the authors, the variety of UNESCO sites around Scotland is incredible, and they've achieved designation status because they are so special in so many ways to so many people. Working with Visit Scotland and the designations themselves to create the trail and celebrates this and brings them to new audiences was an honour, and we look forward to continuing to develop these relationships over the coming years." Prior to the pandemic, spending by tourists in Scotland generated around £11 million of economic activity in the Scottish supply chain. Visit Scotland has been hard at work trying to build back the country's tourism since the pandemic, and inclusion in the Rough Guide will do no harm with that endeavour. But you don't need to be a tourist to enjoy Scotland's UNESCO Trail. Right on our doorstep, there are plenty of treasures to explore. So why not hit the trail in 2024 and enjoy what's on offer, right here in our beautiful wee corner of the world? 13 sites to map out. Scotland's UNESCO Trail connects 13 destinations all over the country. They include the Galloway in Southern Ayrshire and Wester Ross biospheres. Dundee is listed as a UNESCO City of Design. Edinburgh is the City of Literature. And Glasgow is the City of Music, along with Shetland and North West Highlands, UNESCO Global Geoparks. The remainder of the trail is UNESCO World Heritage Sites, namely the Forth Bridge, Frontiers of the Roman Empire, Antonine Wall, New Lanark, Heart of Neolithic Orkney, the Old and New Towns of Edinburgh, and St Kilda. To study the trail in full, visit www.visitscotland.com/things-to-do/UNESCO-trail. Age Scotland's Energy and Food Voucher Scheme. A new emergency energy and food voucher initiative to support the country's most vulnerable older people this winter has been launched by Age Scotland. The charity has heard firsthand the impact the cost of living crisis is having on older people, especially those living in fuel poverty who are worried about turning on their heating. Age Scotland has also identified those who are skipping meals and eating cold food for fear of falling into debt due to rising costs of living. Through the charity's free national helpline, available Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on 0800 12 44 222, that's 0800 1244 222. Expert advisors will identify those most in need in order to provide crisis support. Supported by SGN through an ongoing partnership with the charity, the new initiative will enable Age Scotland energy specialists to offer older people struggling a £30 credit towards their fuel or food costs. They will also provide access to the charity's support services, including energy advice and income maximisation to help older people use energy safely, affordably and efficiently. The initiative is open to those aged 50 and over who are registered to a Scottish postal address, and eligibility will be determined on a case-by-case basis. Catherine Crawford, Age Scotland's Chief Executive, said, The rising cost of living is one of the biggest concerns for older people who call our helpline, especially during the colder months. Our big survey revealed that 79% of over 50s were cutting back on energy and heating, while 43% reported reducing spending on food. Staying warm and eating well is central to older people's health and well-being, but with so many struggling to make ends meet, it's vital they have somewhere to turn for support. We are incredibly grateful to SGN for its ongoing commitment to ensuring older people across Scotland are able to stay safe and warm. This welcome initiative will make a positive difference to those who are reluctant or unable to heat their homes to a comfortable level for fear of running up unmanageable energy bills or falling into debt, or who are at risk of malnutrition due to skipping meals or eating less healthily. 84,655 boxes gifted. Blythewood's 2023 shoebox appeal has sent 84,655 gift-filled boxes to 8 countries in Eastern Europe. The last lorry left the Highland-based charity's Kent sorting station on Friday, December the 15th, with 6,181 boxes for Ukraine. It was the third lorry load of boxes for the country in crisis. Many of the recipients will be people displaced from their homes by the war. Boxes have also been sent to Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Kosovo, Moldova, Romania and Serbia. Blythewood's Chief Executive James Campbell added, "At a time when so many of our supporters are struggling to make ends meet at home, I want to thank everyone for their generosity." Blythewood's shoebox appeal began in 1993 when 300 boxes were sent to Romania. This year's appeal brings the total number of boxes to over 2.6 million. 18,000 ambulance trips avoided thanks to HOP. Around 18,000 ambulance journeys have been avoided in the past 4 months thanks to the Scottish Ambulance Service's new Integrated Clinical Hub, ICH. Launched 1 year ago, the ICH is co-located within the SAS Ambulance Control Centres in the west, north and east of Scotland, and is made up of multidisciplinary teams of clinical advisors, advanced practitioners and GPs. It provides assessments for all patients who are initially triaged as non-immediately life-threatening and may benefit from a further virtual consultation and referral to other services in the community rather than unnecessary trips to A&E. Latest data shows that 64,000 patients have since been assessed by the ICH since August 2023. Michael Dixon, Scottish Ambulance Service Chief Executive, said, "For those patients that require an ambulance, such as immediately life-threatening conditions, we will always dispatch the most appropriate resource. However, our data shows that nearly 50% of our patients don't require transfer to A&E and can be better treated in other ways, such as in the home, in the community or through our specialist services." The ICH plays a vital part in carrying out advanced assessment of these patients to identify their clinical needs to ensure they receive the best possible response for their condition. As we head into a challenging winter period, the hub is a vital tool to helping us free up vital capacity to attend our sickest patients while also reducing the demand at the A&E front door by utilising regional and national pathway to alternatives. To help our staff over the coming weeks, we also would like to remind people that if you need urgent care, but it's not life-threatening, you can call NHS 24 on 111, day or night, or your GP during opening hours. Health Secretary Michael Matheson described the Scottish Ambulance Service as the heartbeat of our NHS. He added, "It has a unique role in engaging with all parts of the health and social care system across the whole of Scotland, 24 hours a day. That is why the Scottish Government has provided £50 million to support the ambulance service with recruitment this year. This investment has helped add 18 clinicians to the newly integrated clinical hub, and I am encouraged by the strides the hub has taken over its inaugural year in managing capacity. We are no doubt facing a challenging winter ahead, but I'm reassured by the service's proactive preparations. It is initiatives such as the ICH that are helping to ensure patients receive appropriate care at home or in the community, alleviating pressures on our already busy A&Es." I know many Scottish Ambulance Service staff will be missing out on precious time with friends and family to make sure patients receive the care and treatment they need over winter. I'd like to thank them for their tremendous work and dedication. Each year, the Scottish Ambulance Services responds to more than 1.5 million calls for assistance. Over 600,000 of these are emergency and unscheduled incidents. The service employs more than 5,000 highly skilled staff. Wednesday the 3rd of January. Family announcements. Deaths. Courtney James, sadly at Glasgow Royal Infirmary on Friday, December the 15th, 2023. James, former professor of bioengineering at Strathclyde University, beloved husband of Ellen, much loved dad of Margaret, James and David, father-in-law of Mark and Teresa, and a loving granddad to Robert and Sarah. Funeral service to take place on Saturday, January the 6th, 2024, at St Cyprian's Scottish Episcopal Church, Lindsay, at 9:30 a.m. Thereafter to Dalduie Crematorium, Broomhouse, arriving at 11 a.m. No flowers, please. Forsyth, Irene. Irene, a dearly loved mum, sister, wife and cherished friend to many, passed away peacefully at home on Monday, December 18th, 2023, aged 81 years. Irene is already sadly missed by all who knew her. Irene's funeral service will be held on Monday, January the 8th, 2024, at 1 p.m. in Stirlingshire Crematorium. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, on the day to Alzheimer Scotland. Shanks, James McClymont. At Glasgow Royal Infirmary on December the 15th, 2023, after a short illness, aged 81. James, beloved husband of Gail, father of Leslie, Australia, James and Brian, New Zealand, brother of Brenda and Archie, a grandfather and great-grandfather. A private cremation will be held in accordance with James' wishes. In Memoriam. McLaughlin, Jerry. Loving memories of my dear husband Jerry, who died 10 years ago on December the 27th, 2013. Always in my heart. Sadly missed, never forgotten. Love from Josephine and family. X. Christmas greetings. Flora Reed would like to wish all her friends a happy new year, and I hope to see you all in the future. EV charging at stations starting on January the 8th. ScotRail is introducing charges for customers with electric vehicles from Monday, January the 8th. An electric vehicle charging tariff will be applied to all charging points across the ScotRail parking network, which says it will bring it into line with other service providers in Scotland. The provision of free charging at ScotRail stations helped promote the use of electric cars while reducing carbon emissions. However, providing it free of charge cost the train operators around £700,000 per year. The charge of 43 pence per kilowatt hour is similar to most local authorities and is in the bottom third of tariffs on the Charge Place Scotland network. It is hoped introducing charges will discourage non-rail users from blocking the locations, something that has been a regular complaint from customers. David Lister, ScotRail Director of Safety, Engineering and Sustainability, said, "We are committed to providing our customers with the best possible journey experience, and improving the availability of electric vehicle charging points is one of the ways we can do that. One of the main complaints we receive is that charging points at our car parks are currently being blocked by vehicles overstaying. The tariff on January the 8th will help to remove that issue. It is important that ScotRail delivers the best possible value to taxpayers, and the charging tariff will ensure that we recover the cost of operating them, allowing funds to be spent instead on improving rail services. Charges are aimed at solely at helping ScotRail to recover the cost of to the taxpayer of operating the charging points, with no profit being made. There are currently 60 locations with charging points at ScotRail stations, with 80 points providing 168 individual connections. A fixed overstay payment of £12 per 12 hours will apply. This will help discourage people blocking access to others, but customers will also be entitled to a refund if a train delay has been the cause of the overstay. ScotRail has achieved a 12% reduction in emissions, CO2, since 2019-20. The provision of electric vehicle charging points supports these efforts and helps towards achieving Scottish Government net zero targets. Wednesday the 3rd of January 2024. Crackentalic and Bishopbriggs Herald letters page, Let's Talk. Please send your letters via email to crackyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Celebrities' emotional outpouring should not cloud issue. Sir, although the views of Esther Ranson and other celebrities on assisted death are to be respected, there are thousands more like me with just as strong and compassionate views who oppose the proposed Liam MacArthur bill and do not have the resources and press influence of pressure groups like Dignitas. If 120,000 cannot access end-of-life palliative care, should assisted death become a legal right when palliative is not a right? Only a third of the funding for hospice and community palliative care comes from the government. For the rest, we rely on charity. This cannot be right. My view has been informed by over 50 years of nursing, including Marie Curie for the terminally ill, midwifery, health visiting and counselling in general practice, and the community. My firm stance is also from a personal, professional, moral and ethical point of view. I reflect on the support given for end-of-life care by the dedicated professionals, support staff and families in their care for those during their final days, not to end a life. In my experience, assisted dying is already given with great compassion and care. When palliative care is unavailable, it's because of a lack of government funding. As the Hippocratic Oath says, first we do the patient no harm. Where does this leave any doctor if the law allows killing? I welcome the debate, both at Westminster and Holyrood, but hope that the over-emotional outpourings from celebrities will not cloud the judgment of our politicians, and hope they will be allowed a free vote to enable them to follow their consciences. We must bear in mind the truly dreadful consequences of following the lead of countries such as Canada, which scrapped the requirement for a person to be terminally ill within a few years of legislation, supposedly to help people who fear being a burden to their families. We must focus on providing resources, training, funding and the political will to ensure the best possible care for the dying, which would make any change in the law redundant. Yours etc, Pamela McDougall, address supplied. Failure to tackle crowd behaviour. Sir, the SFA and SPFL had high-profile talks in November about the recent inappropriate crowd behaviour at Dens Park and Parkhead. They were under intense media pressure, but waited for the furore to die down then, true to form, did nothing. The talks were the end in themselves. No Scottish club has ever been sanctioned over the illegal use of dangerous pyrotechnics. The events have confirmed the utter naivety of repealing the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act 2012. Yet the answer stares us in the face. Emulate every other nation in UEFA. Bring in strict liability, i.e. deduct points, fine, shut a stand or have matches played behind closed doors. It has transformed, for example, Dutch football. The football authorities have been collating research on unacceptable conduct at football matches since 2017, but only hand it to the Scottish Government and Police Scotland on the grounds it is not made public. They continue to run scared of the Glasgow Giants. Yours etc, John V. Lloyd, by email. Boast to be ashamed of, sir. The Scottish Government's analysis of tax changes boasts 1.8 million Scots, 39% of the population, are not affected by the increased income tax rates. The analysis shows this is because their income is less than the personal allowance of £12,570. Rather than defending the tax changes, the SNP government should hang its head in shame that it has allowed the economy to deteriorate so badly that 1.8 million have an income of less than £12,570. The SNP need to focus on growing the economy and creating well-paid jobs. Instead, they focus on penalising those who earn more, driving away entrepreneurs, and the high-value taxpayers Scots depend on to aid those who need help. Those paying the top two tax rates pay 65% of all income tax, and frightening away even a few will reduce the tax take. Even after 14 years in power, the SNP has failed to grow the economy as fast as the rest of the UK. Had they done so, there will be hundreds of millions of pounds more to spend on the NHS, education, policing, etc. Even within the SNP, people are saying that enough is enough and a change of direction is needed. An election cannot come soon enough. Yours etc. Brian Barber, address supplied. Reader's Charter. This newspaper is built on a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account and exposing injustice. Our trusted brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at Kirkie Herald at gnscotland.co.uk. That's KirkieHerald at sign gnscotland.co.uk. A platform for our young musicians. Scottish Young Musicians is returning in 2024 to give our talented young people the chance to compete. The competition offers youngsters the chance to vie for the titles of Solo Performer of the Year, Ensemble of the Year and Brass Ensemble of the Year. Every local authority and independent school in the country has been invited to take part in the hope that more young people will take up the opportunity. In just 2 years, Scottish Young Musicians has become the largest and most important national music competition in Scottish schools, with 30 local authorities participating in the 2023 competition in May, representing around 99% of the school population. The competitions give young people a life-changing and unforgettable experience, as well as the confidence to continue to compete at the highest level. Alan Kerr, Scottish Young Musicians chairman, said, "Last year, we oversaw competitions in 269 secondary schools, 31 regional finals and a national final. We are excited to build on the success of the last two competitions and keep momentum going for 2024, with the hope that even more musicians than ever before will take part in schools and, at a regional level, enabling us to have the broadest possible representation of musical skill on stage at the national final in May. SYM is not just about producing great music, it's about offering the benefits that performing music in public can bring to students. New for 2024, Scottish Young Musicians is proud to offer support for a junior competition taking place in primary schools, with the local authorities taking part focusing on finding the best junior talent in their area. Parents and pupils can find out more through their school music teacher. Solo Performer of the Year is open to all young musicians who go to school in Scotland, whatever age or standard. Each local authority will select a regional finalist, hosting local and regional heats across different schools to decide who will represent their area at the national final. Musicians can enter through their school music teachers, and the finalists will also be selected from Scotland's independent schools. Open to instruments of all disciplines, Ensemble of the Year and Brass Ensemble of the Year are online competitions. They will see school and local ensembles compete to win a chance to perform in a prime slot in the national final at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland on Sunday, May the 26th. Ensemble of the Year is open to groups of 3 to 16 players of any genre who play together regularly in a formal group, while Brass Ensemble of the Year is open to groups of 3 to 12 players who play together regularly. For both competitions, all members must be school students in Scotland, but there is no minimum age or standard. One ensemble in each category will be selected to represent each local authority, recognised music organisation and independent school. They are encouraged to have their own competitions to select their final entry. The chosen videos will then be submitted for judging. The deadline for entries is March the 31st at www.scottishyoungmusicians.com. 400,000 to receive winter payment. Money to help with heating costs is on its way to around 400,000 people on low incomes through the Scottish Government Benefit Winter Heating Payment. Paid in batches to eligible clients, the first payments were made last week, with the majority of people receiving it by the end of January. The annual payment of £55.05 targets low-income households that have additional need for heat, including households with young children, disabled people and older people. First paid in winter 22-23, the payment has replaced the DWP cold weather payment. Unlike the DWT benefit, which was reliant on the weather being sufficiently cold for a sustained period of time, winter heating payment guarantees that everyone who is eligible will receive a payment every year, no matter the weather. The majority of people eligible for winter heating payment, who were already getting qualifying benefits during the week of November the 6th to 12th, will get it automatically, with no need to apply. It is paid through Social Security Scotland, and people will get a letter to let them know they are eligible. Social Justice Secretary Shirley-Ann Somerville said, "We are investing around £22 million this winter through winter heating payments to support 400,000 people on low incomes across the country at a time when they are struggling with the cost of living crises and higher energy bills. Winter heating payment guarantees that everyone eligible will get a payment every year, rather than the UK government requiring the weather to be sufficiently cold for a period of time. Remember, you're not alone this winter. People in Scotland are being reminded of the resources available to support their mental health over the winter months. It can be a tough time of year for people, but help is also readily available." David McKissack, a senior charge nurse in NHS 24's Mental Health Hub, said, "Winter can be a difficult time for many people. The drop in temperature and shorter days can have a marked impact on mental well-being. Christmas, Hogmanay and all the associated parties, get-togethers and other fun events can be joyous occasions. However, they can also unfortunately bring more strain to those that are already feeling vulnerable. Scotland's online health information service, NHS Inform, hosts a wealth of mental health and wellbeing advice. It also promotes free digital programmes called Silver Cloud, Daylight and Sleepio that can help with anxiety, stress and insomnia." David added, "The advantage of using these fantastic digital tools for your mental wellbeing is that they can be accessed at any time you need them. However, we do also recognise that sometimes it is helpful to have a blather to get worries off your chest. If you feel you need to chat, you can also contact Breathing Space on 0800 838587. That's 0800 838587. Breathing Space is a free and confidential service for anyone aged over 16 in Scotland who is experiencing low mood, anxiety or depression. The phone lines and web chat are open Monday to Thursday, 6pm to 2am, and from 6pm to 6am, Friday to Monday. If you're feeling distressed, suicidal or in need of emotional support, you can call NHS 24's Mental Health Hub on 111 anytime, day or night." Appeal for cat foster carers. Cats Protection Adoption Centres and volunteer-run branches throughout Scotland are hoping to recruit fosterers for 2024. Foster carers look after cats in need on a temporary basis while they wait to find a new owner. Branches and adoption centres need people who can offer a temporary home to one or more cats whilst they get back on their paws. Cat fostering is hands-on cat welfare for volunteering, looking after felines on a short-term basis, either in cat's protection provided cat pens in the garden or in a dedicated spare room in the home. Fostering cats while they wait for their forever home can be hugely rewarding, and all you need is time, space and a love of cats. You don't need extensive cat knowledge or a big house to make a difference. David Patterson McKierney, Operation Manager for Scotland, said, "Cat fosterers play a vital role in our charity by caring for cats in their own home until a new owner can be found. Offering a temporary home to a cat in need can be an incredibly rewarding experience, and becoming a volunteer for Cats Protection is a great way to meet new friends, both human and feline. A foster cat can be kept indoors in a spare room or in a warm garden pen that the charity can provide and install. Whether your place is a city high-rise, a busy family home, or even near some big roads, you too can help a needy cat get back in their paws. Cats Protection covers all the costs of caring for a needy cat, including their food, bedding, bowls, litter, toys, medication or vet visits. The charity will provide plenty of assistance, training and all required support materials for new fosterers. All you need to offer is time, a lot of love and plenty of chin scratches. Cats Protection is the UK's leading feline welfare charity, with a network of around 200 volunteer-run branches and 35 centres that together help around 166,000 cats and kittens each year. As well as finding new homes for cats, the charity also offers advice and can help towards the cost of neutering. To foster or volunteer with the charity, please email bsunorth@cats.org.uk. Lecturers reminded to vote and ballot. Members of the Further Education Lecturers Association are being asked to ensure they vote in the National Industrial Action Ballot. The EIS FELA ballot, which closes on January the 16th, is asking lecturers to support a programme of industrial action, up to and including strike action, in pursuit of a fair pay settlement for employers and the protection of lecturing jobs in Scotland. The statutory ballot is taking place against a backdrop of a £58.7 million cut in college budgets after a year of financial problems within the further education sector, which has seen reductions in learning provision and lecturing job cuts in Scottish colleges. Andrea Bradley, EIS General Secretary, said, "We know that this is a busy time of year for everyone, but I would urge all members of EIS FELA to dig out their ballot papers, which they will have received in the post in late November, and cast their vote. 3rd of January 2024, District News, Churches. Kirkintilla Church of God, at Regent Hall, Regent Street on Sunday, January the 7th at 4 p.m, a New Year, New Start event, featuring live music, quiz, speaker Dr. Carol Smith and refreshments. A warm welcome to all who celebrate the new year with us. Our coffee corner is now closed over the Christmas period and will start again on Wednesday, January the 10th at 12 noon. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. All the friends from Regent Hall wish you a happy new year. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Home Church, Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G66-2AB. Home Church, Kirkintilloch. Home Church, East End, Carmyle, G32-8DP. And online, a church for all ages. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11. December the 31st, 10 a.m, prayer meeting followed by refreshments. 11 a.m, worship service followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Church Cayley, 8 p.m. to 12 p.m, including buffet. Home Church Carmyle, see website for service details. Home groups will recommence in February. Home radio is available every day. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, December the 31st, will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our assistant minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be no vestry hour on Wednesday, December the 27th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be no short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, December the 27th from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Following this, the vestry hour and midweek service will resume on January the 10th. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, December the 31st will begin at 11 a.m. and be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. The service on Sunday, January the 7th will be a joint service held at St David's Memorial Park Church. Wednesday welcome will return on Wednesday, January the 10th between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. The craft meetings will also return on Monday, January the 8th. Colston Well Park Church. As we celebrate the passing of the old year, let's hope and pray for a better new year. Join us for our morning service at Colton Will Park Church at 11 a.m, read by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson, with tea, coffee and conversation after the service. The Art Club and the Colston Tea Break are closed for the festive holidays and will restart in the new year, especially at this time. Let us not forget the food bank with its essential work within our community. It is open every Friday from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. A special thanks to all who ably assist and to those who continually donate foodstuffs, etc. St James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector, Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230 4080. On Sunday, December the 31st, there is a communion service at 9 a.m. in the chapel and at 10:30 a.m. in the church with hymns. Everyone is welcome to come along to either of these services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James the Less, Bishop Briggs, website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Wednesday the 3rd of January, District News, General. Fun-loving Cassie needs a home. Cassie yearns for a calm and quiet environment with strong, confident and experienced owners, and she would thrive as the sole pet in the household. Cassie can feel uneasy around other dogs during outdoor encounters, and is accustomed to wearing a lead and muzzle during her walks. To ensure her comfort, Cassie prefers walks in serene locales, away from the presence of other dogs and people. A self-proclaimed foodie, Cassie's social connections can be facilitated through the enticing allure of the sausages and chicken, which paves the way for a new companionship. If you could provide home for Cassie, contact the West Calder Rehoming Centre on 01506 873 459. Fordyce Maxwell, new book. A highly respected journalist whose wonderful weekly newspaper columns had the ability to make his readers both laugh and cry would continue to help people even after his death from prostate cancer. Described as a wonderful writer, and That Philosopher by former editor Magnus Linklater, a collection of 50 of Fordyce Maxwell's finest Scotsman articles, have been published by his family to raise money for Prostate Cancer UK. In When Trees Were Green, Fordyce, who died last year aged 77, jokingly compares his own cricketing career to that of Don Bradman, recounting the time a perfect cut ended up through the kitchen window and into a pan of boiling soup being prepared by his mother. And also when he opened a public speaking engagement for Jack Charlton, pondering whether the majority of the audience were there to see the World Cup winner, or see him, a Kelso Cup winner. He also writes movingly about all his daughter Jacqueline's first day at university, and, most poignantly, about the Dunblane massacre, suggesting that all bereaved parents can do is keep on keeping on, was one of the few things he could write about with certainty, after his elder daughter, Susie, was murdered in 1982. Fordyce's son, Tom, who edited the book, said, "One of my dad's many gifts was his ability to write about any subject, from tragedy to politics to war to simple things like a school trip or a local football match, all with a beautiful, understated prose." He would leave his many loyal readers laughing one minute and crying the next. But he was every bit as wonderful, if not more so, as a father and a husband, and we still can't quite believe he's no longer with us. But with this book we will still hear his voice, laugh with him and cry with him, he'd been so proud of that, even after he's gone. His many wise words will still be helping people to get through life. Tom said his father's experience with prostate cancer will sound far too familiar, and he hoped that it would serve as a warning to others. He said, "My dad was very fit for his age and showed none of the typical signs of early prostate cancer. He would easily put people 20 years younger to shame, and even went for an 11-mile hike in the Cheviots just a week before he was admitted to hospital, just before Christmas in 2019, unable to walk due to previously undetected spinal tumours. He had gone to the doctor several times over the previous 18 months with back pain and shoulder pain, only to be sent away for physio rather than a scan. But if a pain can't be explained, it could be something serious. We'll never know for sure, but I think there's a good chance he would have been with us for a few more years if his cancer had been caught sooner." After beginning his second stint as the Scotsman's farming editor in 1989 after 12 years on the family farm, Fordyce was given his chance to shine with a weekly column in the news pages by then editor Magnus Linklater. He also wrote regularly for the Herald, the Journal and the Sunday Post. He was awarded an MBE for services to journalism in 1995. When Trees Were Green, The Scotsman Articles of Fordyce Maxwell, is priced at £15 and is available from www.fordycemaxwell.com. That's www.fordycemaxwell.com. Leisure. Learn to Swim Partnership Success. Teaching your child to swim. A vital national swimming framework has celebrated its fifth year, creating the next generation of safe swimmers with over 76,000 children from across the country taking part in weekly lessons. The National Learn to Swim Framework, a partnership between Scottish Swimming and Scottish Water, has gone from strength to strength since its formation, with programmes back to 88% capacity following pandemic restrictions. Swim superstars, Olympic medalist Duncan Scott and Paralympic medalist Tony Shaw, renewed their ambassadorships of the framework, which is delivered across Scotland by 38 leisure trusts and aquatic providers in more than 160 pools. Research into the cognitive benefits of young people who take swimming lessons has shown that they achieve a range of developmental milestones much earlier than those who don't, regardless of their gender or background. Children who are members of a swimming club and who compete regularly develop core competencies, such as target setting, teamwork and leadership attributes, which can help them greatly in their future careers and lives. Brian Laroney, Director of Corporate Affairs at Scottish Water, said, "We are delighted that the Learn to Swim programme has bounced back so strongly after the pandemic and continues to go from strength to strength. Being able to swim is an essential life skill, and the programme gives children the skills and confidence they need to enjoy swimming safely. Everyone should be able to enjoy Scotland's miles of rivers, lochs, reservoirs and shorelines safely and with confidence, and our aim is working with the Scottish Swimming and all the local authorities, leisure trusts and aquatic providers to create Generation Swim, a generation of safe and competent swimmers. Learn to Swim is a national framework committed to creating supportive and quality environments in which children can learn to swim regardless of their age, ability or skill level. It aims to develop competent swimmers, as well as encouraging youngsters to adopt a healthy and fulfilling lifestyle with sport and fun at its heart. More details on the Learn to Swim programme at www.learntoswim.scot. Donate unwanted Christmas gifts. National healthcare charity Sue Ryder is urging the public to donate any Christmas gifts they don't need, want or like, so it can be there when it matters for everyone approaching the end of life or living with grief. Whether it's a jumper that doesn't fit, a book you've already read, or a novelty item not to your taste, the charity, which provides palliative care and bereavement services, is hoping that people will donate unwanted presents to their local Sue Ryder shop that would otherwise be gathering dust, and ensure that their item becomes the gift that keeps on giving. To donate, simply deliver goods to your local Sue Ryder shop, or, if it's a piece of furniture you've fallen out of love with, have it picked up by booking the free furniture collection service, available via the charity's website. The charity has just under 400 shops in high streets, retail parks and shopping centres across the UK, with money raised in-store going towards its hospices, palliative care hubs and range of bereavement services. Commenting on the benefits of regifting unsuitable festive presents, Glyn Taylor, retail regional manager at Sue Ryder, said, "Christmas is a wonderful time for exchanging gifts, but it's safe to say most of us will receive items at the end that have been thrown in the back of a cupboard. One person's trash is another person's treasure, so it's definitely worth donating your well-meant but as yet unloved items. Not only are you cutting down on waste, you'll also be helping support people dealing with the grief or facing a terminal illness, all of the while decluttering your home as you prepare to kickstart 2024. People can donate quality clothes, household goods, electricals, books, toys, as well as accessories and collectibles at Sue Ryder shops or by visiting www.sueryder.org/regift. That's www.sueryder.org/regift. World's loneliest sheep. A sheep was shot to stardom last month when she was rescued after 2 years living at the bottom of some remote cliffs is now helping to encourage steps to prevent loneliness in the agricultural community. The Scotch Mail Cross, Charolas Ewe, was named Fiona by the team of friends Graham Parker, Ali Cousins, Ali Williamson, James Parker and Gammy Wilson of the Sheep Game, who rescued her after she became known as the world's loneliest sheep when Jill Turner spotted her while kayaking near the base of the cliffs. The story of Fiona's rescue attracted interest from the media around the world, with numerous TV stations and newspapers running the story, from CNN and the New York Times to the Sydney Herald. She is now enjoying life and lots of company at Dalscone Farm, Dumfries, where she is now helping to raise the profile of RSABI's hashtag Keep Talking campaign and the Scottish Association of Young Farmers Clubs' Are You OK? Mental health message. Fiona settled in here straight away and she's doing really well, said Ben Best, who runs Dalscone. We're delighted that this not only has she helped to raise £1,000 for RSABI and the Scottish SPCA, thanks to donations from people keen to help. She's now also helping to spread the word about such an important message at this time of year. Carol McLaren, Chief Executive of RSABI, said, "We know there can be a bit of loneliness in the farming community, particularly at this time of year, and a hashtag Keep Talking campaign highlights how important it is for people to keep in touch and keep an eye out for anyone who could be feeling low or lonely. We know that just a little kindness can make a massive difference for someone who's struggling. RSABI offers free practical financial and emotional support, including counselling services, delivered quickly after receiving the initial inquiry. It's free confidential support services available 24 hours a day, every day of the year, by calling 0808-1234-555. Calls won't show up in phone bills, or through a confidential web chat service available on the RSABI's website, www.rsabi.org.uk. Rare moss rediscovered. A critically endangered moss has been restored at Thirapmuir Reservoir thanks to a collaboration between Nature Scot and Royal Botanic Garden Edinburgh. Scientists have been rewarded after a 13-year wait to see one of Scotland's rarest mosses, which prefers to live in areas where other species simply cannot. Roundleaf bryum has been found by Nature Scot's Cat O'Brien and identified by RBGE's David Chamberlain at Thirapmuir Reservoir near Balerno, Edinburgh. The roundleaf bryum lives in the mud by reservoirs and lochans where the water levels are temporarily low, a habitat that only appears occasionally. Join the farmland bird count. Farmers, crofters, rangers, gamekeepers and foresters who care about wildlife conservation are encouraged to join the big farmland bird count organised by the Game and Wildlife Conservation Trust on February 2nd to 18th. As well as providing snapshots of the bird population on farms and crofts, the annual count aims to raise awareness of the important role that farmers and other land managers play in the conservation of farmland birds. Since 2014, nearly 13,000 counts have been carried out. Next year's will be the 11th count that this GWCT would like to be the best one yet. Find out how to get involved at www.bfbc.org.uk, where downloadable bird guides are available. Sport, football. Rossville hoping to upset champs. Rossville women will aim to write themselves into folklore on Sunday when they face Glasgow City in the third round of the Scottish Cup. It is the second year in a row that Rossville have faced the reigning SWPL1 champions, having lost heavily to Rangers at the same stage of the competition last year. However, the club's head of academy, Michael Docherty, said lessons were learned from that match, as well as the disappointment of missing out on promotion to SWPL2 as they get set to meet City at Petershill Park. This season, Rossville are currently flying high at the top of the championship, and the next generation are also doing well with the under-18s recently claiming a league and plate double. Docherty said, "I think last season just came a little too early for us, but we learned lessons, regrouped, and now the whole vibe around the club is absolutely buzzing. The senior team are well clear at the top of the championship, we have formed a development team, and our girls are being successful right through the age categories. Not bad in just a few years. We have established a pathway right through from the tiny tots to the first team, and some of our players are attracting the attention of bigger clubs, but have turned them down, such as the positivity of the whole club right now. We want the girls to know they don't have to move on to play in these big games, and that is demonstrated by meeting first Rangers, and now Glasgow City in the Cup, and who knows, maybe eventually they'll be coming here in league business. We are under no illusions about the size of the task that faces us on Sunday. We'll be playing against a side full of internationals who have competed in the Champions League. But you have to dream the dream. Our players will be ready for it, and if they can win, then they'll write themselves into folklore, as it will probably be the biggest upset in the history of Scottish football." Football. Kevin confident Rob Roy can stay in the Premier. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy's Director of Operations, Kevin McGoldrick, is confident the club can survive in the West of Scotland Premier Division this season. Rob Roy is one of a group of 7 or 8 teams currently battling to avoid finishing in the bottom 3 places come the end of the season. McGoldrick, who moved upstairs recently allowing his assistant Danny Ferry to take on first team duties, believes they'll start to move up the table in the second half of the season. He said, "Having kept Rob Roy up last year, we were perhaps looking to kick on this season, While that hasn't quite happened, I still have every confidence we can stay in this division. It was always a risk releasing 20 players, as we didn't have a big squad to replace guys when injuries and suspensions came around. We've actually had to use 7 of the under-20s this season, but that is why we have a pathway so the young players are ready to step up, and that is what we want, and indeed need, to happen at Rob Roy. You look at the likes of Darvill, Pollock and Clyde Bank, who all have a much bigger budget than us, and it costs money to bring quality players in. There are few nowadays who just play for the love of the game. What we have to do to add that little bit of quality is sell Rob Roy as a stepping stone, so that if players perform with us, they can go on to bigger things. Looking at the fixture list for the second half of the campaign, we only have to play Beath Juniors in the current top four, so we have got a lot of the bigger sides out of the way, which is obviously a positive. Meanwhile, we still have 2 matches against several of the sides around us in the table, including Cumnock Juniors, Irvine Meadow and Glenafton Athletic. We were in a similar position this time last year, so we just go again, as there are still plenty of points to be had as we look to move away from the relegation zone. WOS League fixtures. Friday, First Division, Petershill vs Renfrew. Saturday, Premier Division, Cumnock Juniors vs Kirkintilloch Rob Roy. First Division, Ashfield vs Cambuslang Rangers. Second Division, Caledonian Locomotives vs St Anthony's, Glasgow Perthshire vs Kilsyth Rangers. 3rd Division, Glasgow United vs West Park United. 4th Division, Rossvale vs New Means United. Speedway, Harris is fired up to retain the title. Chris Harris admits he is fired up to win back-to-back championship titles after deciding to remain at Glasgow Tigers for the 2024 season. The 41-year-old returned to Ashfield last season, having previously ridden for Tigers in 2008, and Harris is now in the hunt for further glory. The former British champion said, "It was awesome to win the title at Poole a couple of months ago. That achievement meant so much to me and the club. It was my first title win in the second tier since 2000 at Exeter, but was the first league championship for the Fasena family, so it will always be very special. But that's gone now. We just have to focus on the future, and that means retaining the trophy. I'm really fired up to achieve that. In my experience, defending a title is always tougher than winning it in the first place. However, I'm confident that we can do it. There are so many twists and turns in Speedway, and luck plays a big part in success, but this club was always hungry for silverware. I love that winning mentality. I feel much the same every time I am on track, so hopefully we can do it all again." Team boss Cammy Brown is delighted to have the inspirational skipper back on board for 2024. He said, "To be honest, Chris was the first name in the team sheet. He was outstanding from start to finish last season. Chris is the perfect captain and role model for all the club. Now we look forward to more of the same next year." Article by Phil Lanning.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Dune Review and to tell your friends about our service.